Welcome to episode 14 of the Yuri Brito podcast. I'm back. I haven't forgotten you. I've been engaged in the Thanksgiving festivities with family out of state. It's good to be back to the flow and rhythm of things, back to the regularity of the work week, and also the regularity of these podcasts, which are offered hopefully once a day from Monday through Thursday. This is Yuri Brito. Thanks for joining us. Symbols. Symbols is what I want to talk a little bit about this evening, mainly because symbols are deeply religious, which is why every time a politician plays or wears symbols, he or she is demonstrating something about his way of being, his belief, his allegiance. We are, after all, a deeply symbolic people. And the more we embrace certain symbols, the more we communicate our ideology and the things we treasure most in this world. An American flag, our posters in our bedrooms, our screenshot in our computer screens, and in the religious world, of course, crosses and a fish in the back of a car. All these things speak to something greater than ourselves. And in the political world, whether you are an elephant or a donkey, a Republican or Democrat, we symbolize ideas through various ways. The Democratic Party, which is deeply religious, just as the Republican Party is, but the Democratic Party in particular, they love to show their religion on their necks. You see this quite often through a host of examples. In an article in the Boston News some years ago at the inauguration of President Donald Trump in 2016, Senator Elizabeth Warren wore a scarf. Now, in and of itself, a scarf is just something to keep you warm, something that beautifies your neck. But in this case, it was a pink Planned Parenthood scarf given to her by a supporter of Planned Parenthood, a scarf that she wore very proudly, and the scarf symbolizes Warren's view of the future. But more than that, it symbolized her religious views, because as I said, symbols are deeply religious. And in particular, it symbolized the institution of Planned Parenthood, which in many ways is a sacramental institution. The Planned Parenthood scarf symbolized the cry for death. And like any other symbol, Warren wore it proudly in 2016. You know, after all, you would only wrap your neck with a piece of cloth in public if you believe it matched your body and soul. And it doesn't stop there, because symbols are meant to be repetitive, because through the act and ritual of repetition, things are communicated again and again until it gets into the psyche of the human being. Fast forward 2 years, 2018, there is Warren again at a gay parade wearing what? Yes, a scarf. This time an enormous rainbow scarf. You see, Warren is fully aware that her symbols convey more powerfully ideas than even words, so she wears it on her neck. And I can illustrate this principle in myriads of ways. The Democratic Party is not just some innocent party communicating ideas that is contrary to the Republican Party. You know, sometimes for the sake of finding common ground, we like to minimize the differences. But the modern Democratic Party is not the party of Kennedy or of liberal ideas, meaning the ideas of a free society. They are now the party of leftist ideas that communicate decidedly a vision of open sexuality and closed death in the womb. Yes, you can tell a lot about a person or a party by the scarf they wear. Symbols matter. Over in the UK, where religious freedom is dying faster than Colin Kaepernick's football career, there's an article at the Cauldron Pool about a pastor who wrote a mighty simple tweet. Let me read you this tweet. He says, "A reminder that Christians should not support or attend LGBTQ Pride Month events held in June." He goes on to say, "They promote a culture and encourage activities that are contrary to Christian faith and morals. They are especially harmful for children," he concluded. And then following a series of complaints, a head teacher at the school that Mr. Waters worked in informed him that he was being investigated for bringing the school into disrepute. Now imagine that. The school for which he works for, he's a bivocational pastor, he's working at this school, and now the school is investigating him for bringing the school essentially to the attention of liberal agendas in the UK. And so they issued him a warning for breaking the code of conduct. So Mr. Waters felt he had no choice but to resign. Mr. Waters, in response, says, "You don't have to look very far to Google Pride events and you'll come up with photographs of people who are naked, people who are engaged in sexual acts." Mr. Waters dared challenge the explicit agenda of the gay parade and the LGBTQ community. And he exposed them for what they are, which is precisely it, sexualized ethics in abundance for the world to see. These parades are essentially the next step into the fact that the homosexual, lesbian, etc. community is no longer satisfied with practicing their unbiblical forms of sexuality in the privacy of their homes, but they want to expose, nay, they want to conform, they want to impose their view of the world upon anyone else. And they're not giving you the option of analyzing their cause. They're saying, here we are, open, unafraid, naked. This unmistakable criminalization of free speech is precisely why the European church is suffering 1,000 deaths, why the mainline churches in Europe are dying again and again and again, and all you have now are corpses lying in the street, being resuscitated by liberal priests who want to keep the ornaments in the ecclesiastical tree, but not celebrate the purpose of the tree itself. This is what European Christians are enduring. Now, there are very few in the Church of England who won't bow to Baal, and the few that still stand are harassed and ridiculed for speaking simple biblical truth. Look, what Mr. Waters said is absolutely pure biblical truth. It is so uncontroversial that it shocks my listeners, it shocks me, why any such thing would even grasp the attention. But in an anti-Christian culture, even something as simple as speaking a basic Christian truth is condemned and viewed as an absolute threat. And what's really crucial here is that he talked about the protection of children, who are obviously the targets in these sin-saturated parades. The children are the target, which is precisely why Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew calls the children himself and places kind of protective guard, a protective umbrella, his protective wings over these children. He blesses them. He places upon them his benediction. And he even says, if you endanger these little ones, if you cause them to stumble, it is better for you to, and here we go back to Elizabeth Warren, to put a millstone where? Around your neck and be drowned if you cause these little ones to stumble. Those who proclaim these worldviews are very much causing the stumbling and the death of children. And make no mistake, they will suffer the consequences for their actions, because either in this world or in the next world, the God of vengeance, the God of Psalm 94, will have his way. He will not allow and tolerate impurity and the inflicting of harmful ideas and harmful exposures to the least of these. Brothers and sisters, we're not living in a time where we can afford to be silent. We must live in a time where we must practice our own Christian rituals. Rituals that are not born out of the abstract philosophies of this world, but rituals that exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. The rituals and habits of worship and prayer and word and sacrament and gospel proclamation, all these things need to be precisely what we use to combat the false rituals of the world, which are exposed on their feet, on their heads, and on their necks. This is Yuri Brito. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.